Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Study after study has shown us that people will see what they expect to see or experience what they expect to experience. And I think that's part of what's happening in this story of the Magi and King Herod. The Magi have been poring over their astronomy texts or whatever they've been studying, and they are expecting to see a sign of a new ruler born in Judea, or a new ruler that has come to be king of the Jews. They have this expectation. They have observed a sign that has given them this awareness. And so they come to Jerusalem, because where would you look for the king of Israel but in the capital, in Jerusalem, in the house of the king, looking for a king. Now we observe the birth of Jesus, this child, this lowly peasant boy born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. With hindsight, we expect a Messiah, we expect a Savior, we expect one who will set his people and indeed all people free. But at the moment, all there was to find was a child, a lowly child, and yet the Magi expected a king, and so they went looking for a king. Herod had a different set of lenses on. He expected a threat to his power. And so when he heard the words of the Magi asking about a ruler, asking about a child born who would be king, and it wasn't his own kid, he experienced, he saw, he heard what he was expecting to hear, a threat to his power. The stories that we tell ourselves or the things on which we focus can shape our perception of what happens around us until we see what we are conditioned to see, what we expect to see. We experience what we have, in a sense, predetermined we will experience. And we know all kinds of stories about this, about people who always have an optimistic outlook on life and so see the glasses half full, if you will, see the flurries of snow and get excited about a snow day or going skiing. And we know the people who have perhaps a more realistic, they might say, or cynical, others might say, outlook on life and see the glasses half empty and see the flurries of snow and know the difficult, dangerous conditions that can bring. And the ways in which we condition ourselves to see something shape what we in fact see. The Magi are also open to new ideas. They kind of have to be, right? Because they've left their country in search of some other country's newborn king. And so when they experience in a dream a warning telling them to change their route, to take a different course, they do so. They are expecting to be led, to be guided. And so they don't mind doing things that other people might think are a little bit ridiculous, like following signs in the sky, stars shining and starting and stopping, dreams that warn them to come and go by different routes. They're expecting the world, their understanding of the divine, to guide them. And so that's what they experience. Herod is only expecting violence and bloodshed, and that's what he sees, and that's what he brings about. I am part of an online group of clergy women, and we support one another and share ideas. And today's reflection and activity is from a woman named Marcy, who's also a member of that group, to give credit where credit is due. And this is something that she does in her church, and apparently several others have picked it up, at the beginning of a new year, at the celebration of Epiphany. And that is to give each person a star. We have lots and lots of stars up here on the communion table, and I hope that when you come up for communion in just a few minutes, you will select one. You might want to glance over them and pick one that speaks to you, or you may want to kind of blindly take one and be surprised by what it says. Each star has a word on it. The words do repeat after a while. There are about 32 different words. But so each one has a word on it. And you're invited to take this star, much as the Magi took the stars, the signs around them, and were led by them. You're invited to take this star and bring it home with you and place it somewhere. You could use it as a bookmark in your Bible if you read your Bible often enough that would be helpful. You can stick it to your mirror in your bedroom or your bathroom or the visor of your car or wherever you might see it pretty regularly. And you're invited to make this word a focus for you this new year and to explore, to imagine what God might be saying to you in this word, this sign to you, this epiphany or revelation or understanding. What new focus might you find in your prayer life, in your day-to-day life, when you need to reflect upon or make a decision, if you look at it through the lens of abundance or embrace or opportunity or healing or any of the many focus ideas, guiding words, guiding stars we have up here? How might God be leading you in this season, in this year, to follow that star and be guided by that principle? If we do indeed see and experience what we expect, then there's a wonderful passage in one of Paul's letters where he says, set your mind on the things of God and see what happens when we shape ourselves around God's vision. So I invite you, when you come up for communion, or if you prefer to sit during communion and you want to come up later after the service and peruse them, you may. You're allowed to trade or to get a new one if you like, but to settle upon one and see how God might be speaking to you this day, this month, this year, guiding you, and to make that a spiritual practice and a way of focusing and seeing where God is leading us. I believe we often see what we are expecting to see, and so how might God give us a new vision and encourage us to go about our journeys by new routes, just as the Magi were led home by a different route, so that we might follow God's calling and God's vision for us. Amen. Charlie has crashed on the island while addicted to drugs, while addicted to cocaine. Locke has found Charlie's stash of drugs, and Charlie knows this. And he keeps asking Locke for those drugs back. And Locke teaches him with this parable, not of a bird, but of a moth in a cocoon. You see the struggle. The struggle is part of what makes each one of us strong enough to spread our wings and fly. And so it is not enough to be set free. It is not enough for the jar to be removed, for the stake to be pulled from the ground. It is not even enough for the cocoon or the egg to be cracked open further for us. We need to dig deep into the faith, into the calling, into the courage that we have, so that we will have the strength to emerge and to spread our wings. Are you a flea or a bird? Are you tied down and stooped over, or are you proud and strong? Are you ready to dig deep, to find your calling, your center, your strength, and then use that faith to push through the crack in your shell, to break free of the cocoon of your own spinning? Stretch your wings and soar. Amen.